الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. إن شاء الله today we will read from منهاج القاصدين, مختصر منهاج القاصدين by الإمام أحمد بن قدامة المقدسي. We will read from the quarter of المهلكات or the destructive qualities or habits or practices, and we're reading from the part or the chapter pertaining to malice and envy. Malice is hatred, rancor that you possess in your heart for others. I remember last time we were talking about anger, and we were talking about the restraining of anger, how to restrain your anger and forbearance, and the benefit of forbearance. Now, Ibn Qudama here says that if you restrain your anger because of inability to vent it out, that can be transformed into malice, rancor, and hatred. So the restraining of anger should be for the sake of Allah. You restrain your anger and you show forbearance for the sake of Allah. But for people who restrain their anger because of their inability to vent it out, that transforms inside them into malice and rancor or hatred. So he says if a person restrains his anger only because he's unable to release it at once, it settles within him in the form of malevolence or malice. The sign of this is that he starts to hate the person who has enraged him. Therefore, malice is the fruit of anger, and malice in turn results in hasad, which is envy. It is not, you know, envy usually in English is used for permissible and impermissible envy. Because you can be envious of someone, meaning that you desire to have what they have, and that is not impermissible in Islam. It is permissible and could be recommended, the desire to have the wealth that someone has, to spend it in the cause of God. The desire to have the knowledge that someone has, to use it in the cause of God. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ said, that there should be no envy except in two cases. Envy of a man who was endowed with a knowledge and he teaches it to others and arbitrates between others based on his knowledge. And envy of a man who was endowed with wealth and he spends it in the cause of Allah. That type of hasad is called what? In Arabic, ghibta. Ghibta. So you have hasad and ghibta. When you desire to have what another person has, but you do not desire for him to lose it, that is the permissible envy. That is the ghibta. When you desire to have what another person has, but you desire for him to lose it, that is the impermissible envy. That's the impermissible envy. So the scholars say that when you should envy someone, in order for you to be able to have the permissible and recommended envy, you should envy people who have something that is unlimited, that is not finite. Because usually we as human beings, we get envious of one another because we compete with one another for limited resources. Limited resources. The shaitan makes you think that in order for you to become rich, the money has to come to you from others. And therefore, people usually are envious of their counterparts. Like, you don't find doctors envious of engineers, or physicians envious of engineers, even doctors within the same specialty. You don't find, you know, internists envious of ophthalmologists, or vice versa. But you find ophthalmologists envious of ophthalmologists. Engineers envious of engineers. Why? Because it's the competition. Because you think you're competing for something that is limited. You want to be the best. They can be, you know, doctors can be envious of engineers in some other regards. You know, if you're married to a sister and her sister is married to an engineer and you're a physician or you are, you have different jobs, but you can be envious of each other, not because of your professions, but because of this crowdedness. What do I mean by crowdedness? You're competing for things that are finite. You're competing for things that are finite. So you're competing to be the best within the family. And the best within the family must be one person. Or the person who is looked at with the most respect within the family. Or the person who is looked at as the most successful within the family. This has got to be one individual, right? And that is what people compete for. And that's why they become envious of one another. And envy certainly is one of the sins that result in so much evil afterwards. So that emotion of envy is a result, you know, of our self-admiration, our pride, our self-admiration, our want to be the best and the greatest and the foremost. In every way. And then we are competing for finite favors or finite wealth or finite things in general, you know. Even people's respect is still finite. What is infinite is Allah's pleasure. Therefore, the people who really compete for Allah's pleasure, they should not be envious of one another in a bad way. You see, Umar ibn Khattab and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq used to compete, right? Every time they would compete for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They never thought of, let me hinder him, let me impede his progress, let me stop him, delay him, so that I can catch up with him. No, they always thought, let me do my best so that I can catch up with him. And let me, you know, compete for the pleasure of Allah because the pleasure of Allah is infinite. It is not finite. Therefore, the envy itself is going to be a different envy. The same applies to students of knowledge or scholars of, you know, scholars or so on and so forth. If they truly seek by their knowledge, the face of Allah, the pleasure of Allah, then they will not be envious of one another. Why? Because that is infinite. Whoever said that the pleasure of Allah has to be transferred from one to the other, Allah's pleasure is infinite. Allah can be very pleased with you and very pleased with your brother as well. Allah can raise you in ranks and raise your brother in ranks as well. It's infinite. So that is why if people who have sincerity, people who have impartiality, they will have less envy because their main objective and their ultimate goal is infinite and not finite. Therefore, there's really no competition. Therefore, there is really no crowdedness. You know, the crowdedness is what makes us want to push others away or behind, so that we can be the first, or the pioneers, or the best. So that's the root of it. The root of it is pride, and the root of most evil qualities, and behaviors and practices. So that's the root of it. It was reported on the authority of Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the disease of the nations before you has crept into you, or has come to you. دَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ دَاءُ الْأُمَمِ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Envy and hatred. الْحَسَدُ وَالْبَغْضَى. Envy and hatred. الْحَسَدُ وَالْبَغْضَى. So the disease of the nations before you has crept into you, or has come to you. الْحَسَدُ وَالْبَغْضَى. Envy and hatred. Al-Bukhari and Muslim reported that the Prophet ﷺ also said, do not hate one another, and do not cut your relation with one another. Do not envy one another. Do not turn away from one another. And, O Allah's worshippers or servants, be brothers. Which means, you know what it means. But in Arabic, this would be لا تباغضوا ولا تقاطعوا ولا تحاسدوا ولا تدابروا وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا. لا تباغضوا, do not hate one another. ولا تقاطعوا, do not cut your relation with one another or abandon one another or boycott one another. وَلَا تَحَاسَدُوا, do not envy one another. وَلَا تَدَابَرُوا, and do not give your back to one another, meaning do not turn away from one another. وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا, and be, O servants of Allah, brothers. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, verily envy eats good deeds as fire eats firewood. That may have some controversial authenticity. The previous two hadith are reported by Bukhari and Muslim, so they are highly authentic. Ibn Sirin said that I have never envied someone for any worldly gains or for any worldly, anything that's worldly of this world or of this life. Because if he is of the people of the paradise, then how could I envy him for something as little as this world? You know, if his destiny is paradise, then whatever it is that he has in this world is trivial, is nothing, because he's destined to paradise. And if his destiny is the hellfire, then how could I envy him for this world if he is destined to the hellfire? It may be a little bit, you know, dichotomous, but the issue here is Ibn Sirin is well aware of the frivolousness, or not the frivolousness, of the magnitude of this world. It is so small. It is, you know, compare it to the hereafter and it becomes negligible, zero. As we said many times before, divide anything by infinity and the result will be zero. So put this life next to the hereafter, which is infinity, infinity of pleasure or infinity of torment, infinity in the Jannah or infinity in the Nar, anything in this life, whether it is good or bad, it becomes a zero compared to infinity. And that is not, you know, that's not philosophy, that's just pure math, right? That is not philosophy, that is pure math. Anything divided by infinity is zero. And then Imam Ibn Qudamah says, when Allah bestows some blessing on a Muslim, the others react to this blessing in either one of two ways. They either desire it, but they do not desire that he loses it, or they desire it and they desire that he loses it. If they desire it and they desire that he loses it, that is the forbidden envy. That is haram. But if they desire it and they do not desire that he loses it, then that is not forbidden. Yet, what should they desire? What should they desire? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. And do not wish for the grace or the favors that Allah had bestowed to some of you over others. To some of you over others. what you should actually desire, the hadith that we mentioned in the beginning, in which the Prophet ﷺ said, envy should not be in anything except one of two, a man who is given wisdom and or knowledge in this case, and he uses it to teach the people and to arbitrate between them, and a man who is given wealth and he uses it to spend in the cause of Allah. So you're ultimately desiring what? Ultimately desiring the reward of the hereafter. Because if your heart is truly attached to this dunya, and you want this dunya for this dunya, then this dunya will overtake your heart. And if it overtakes your heart, then you will have lost your soul, if the dunya overtakes your heart. So if you desire the money for the money, or the knowledge for the knowledge, and that's it, and your sight ended at this point, or at this stage, that you became knowledgeable, or you have the wealth, then in this case, you have lost your soul, and you have destroyed your faith. Whether this destruction will be gradual or abrupt, usually it is gradual. Usually it takes time, but it does certainly and most shortly happen over time. So at any rate, the envy that is desirable is when you envy people who are ahead of you in the pursuit of God, in the pursuit of the pleasure of God. That's what the Prophet ﷺ also said in a hadith. He said, look at people who are above you in the work of the hereafter, or in the religion, and who are below you in this dunya, for that is more conducive to being grateful to Allah, or being grateful to Allah's grace on you, or Allah's favors on you. فَإِنَّهُ أَحْرَى أَلَّا تَزْدَرُوا نِعْمَةَ رَبِّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ. For that's more conducive to not showing lack of gratitude to Allah's grace or favors on you. So that's what you should always do. You should compare yourself to people who are less than you in the dunya to say, Alhamdulillah, you know, Allah gave me, you know, at least Allah gave me shelter, Allah gave me food, even if you don't have enough food, at least Allah gave me shelter. Even if you don't have shelter, you say, at least Allah gave me my sight, and you know, I'm capable of walking, and so on. Some others are not. And so on. So you remind yourself of Allah's favors, and you compare yourself to people who are below or beneath you in the dunya, or in the means of the dunya. In terms of the akhirah, you should always look up to people who are above you. Because if you look you look down to people who are below you, they will hinder your progress. They will hinder your pursuit of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That could prove to be very difficult, particularly in our times, particularly, you know, in a place like this, where certainly you are not living in Medina, and there is not that many righteous people around us that we can compare ourselves to. So you will always look and say to yourself, you know what, I am doing a great job. You know, at least they go to the masjid once a day. You know, if you were in Medina, you'll be embarrassed, because people are, you know, when someone misses one congregation of prayer, then it would be a big deal for them. And they may be upset for a couple of weeks. So it varies. But the issue here is, do not limit yourself to the people of your time. Whether they are in Medina or Mecca or here or wherever they are, do not limit yourself to the people of your time, because that can truly delay you and pull you back. Read this Hayat al-Sahaba. Not necessarily the book Hayat al-Sahaba itself, but Hayat al-Sahaba is a good book. You know, but any book about Hayat al-Sahaba, or any book about the biographies of the Sahaba in general, read about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about the history of the Prophet, the biography or the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the seerah of the Sahaba radhiyallahu alaihim. That will help you compare yourself to the people that you should really be comparing yourself to, which are the Sahaba. No matter what you do, there will be always room for improvement. And that's how you should treat yourself. You should treat yourself this way. You should always be more ambitious. You should have higher aspirations. You should, the Prophet ﷺ taught us that when we ask Allah for al-Jannah, to ask Him for al-Firdaus. إِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهَ فَاسْأَلُوهُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. When you ask Allah, ask Him for the Firdaus. That is the highest rank in paradise. So that's how you should treat yourself. So always compare yourself to people who are below you in this dunya and people who are above you in the hereafter. In this case, your envy will always be good envy. Because you will always be envious of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, or Umar ibn al-Khattab, or Uthman ibn Affan, or Abdurrahman ibn Awf, or Khalid ibn Walid, or Bilal ibn Rabah, or Suhaib, or Ammar, or someone that deserves your envy, your good envy. You say to yourself, look at what they did, look how they lived their lives, and look at where they are now. You know, they tired themselves in the cause of Allah. They sacrificed in the cause of Allah, but look at where they are now. Why should I not do what they did? Why should I not hasten to Allah like they hastened to Him? Why don't I do my best and reach my potential? So that's good envy. And at the same time, you'll be looking at people who are below you in this life. And then in this case, you'll not be envious of them. The causes of envy generally appears, or envy generally appears as a result of enmity, pride, self-admiration, love of leadership, and the impurity of the soul. However, enmity is the most serious one among these causes, because it leads to malice, and this in turn causes man to have thirst for revenge, and drives him to gloat over any calamity that may afflict his enemy, and of course grieve if he receives any blessing. So the people that you have the bad envy, you have bad envy, which means that you want him to lose what he has. You want him to lose what he has. Even because of this crowdedness, because you feel that you're competing in the department, and one of you will become the head of the department, one of you will become the favorable son-in-law, for instance. One of you will become the favorable daughter-in-law. So it's crowded, and you're competing in this crowded atmosphere, this crowded environment. And that's where bad envy takes place. The other possibility is the enmity. We said in the beginning that if you're angry with someone, you can't vent out your anger. So that anger transforms into malice inside your heart, and then you'll be envious of this one, meaning that you will want the destruction of what he has, that he loses what he has, and that it is transferred to you. So there are three reasons why you should be envious of someone. Knowing the causes of envy will help you treat the condition. One of these causes is, as we said, is enmity, animosity. When you hate someone, you become envious of them. You want whatever it is that is in their hands to come to you, and you want them to lose it. The second reason is this crowdedness and competition that comes from the self-admiration, the pride and self-admiration, and wanting to be the best and the greatest and the first in every field that you take part in. So in your job, in your department, you want to be the best. In your family, you want to be the most favorable. In the mosque, you want to be the best. Within the group, you want to be, also the best. And depending on the inclinations of the group, I mean, if it's a group of students of knowledge, you want to be the most studious and the most knowledgeable. If it's a group of like people who waste their time and making jokes and stuff, you want to be the funniest. And if it's a group that is into business and making money, you want to be the richest, and so on. So that's the second reason. The first is animosity. The second is this self-admiration and this competition in a crowded environment. You know, if you get out of this crowded environment to the infinity, which is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will be no conflict. You can get as much as you want, and everybody can get as much as they want. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا عَبَادِي لَوْ أَنَّ أَوَّلَكُمْ وَآخِرَكُمْ وَإِنْسَكُمْ وَجِنَّكُمْ كَانُوا اجتمعوا في صعيد واحد فسألوني فأعطيت كل واحد مسألته ما نقص ذلك في ملكي إلا كما ينقص المخيط إذا أدخل البحر. O my servants, if the first and the last amongst you, the jinn and the ins amongst you, were to gather in one place and ask me, and I would give everyone what they asked for, this would not decrease my dominion, except as much as a needle decreases when it enters the ocean. So if you, and you know, different interpretations for this, but if you dip the needle in the ocean and then you take it out, how much did it take from the ocean? You know, it didn't take anything from the ocean. You just dip the needle in the ocean and then you take it out. So that is the infinity, and that is where you should liberate yourself. You liberate yourself from this crowded space, this competition in a crowded space, to the infinity where you can excel. And at the same time, in this crowded space, you have to also understand that the grace of Allah is not finite, even in this crowded space that we live in. So you don't have to compete head on, you know, compete in parallel lines. You do not have to intersect with the people that you compete with. Why don't you compete in parallel lines? You know, just ignore the people who are around you. Do your best. Try to reach your potential. If you at the workplace, try to reach your potential, to be the best you can be, you know, in your profession. At the masjid, try to be the best you can be in the masjid. You know, try to clear your heart of all diseases and afflictions of the heart, weaknesses, shortcomings. Have no ghish inside your heart, no insincerity. That you should have no hatred, you should have no prejudice inside your heart for your fellow Muslims. And if you're a student of knowledge, to try to be the best you can be. Well, X or Z or Y is doing better than you. You pray for them to excel and to benefit the Muslims as much as they can. And you focus on yourself. You try to compete with one thing, you know, which is your own potential. Your own potential. You have a potential. Everybody has a potential. You should not underestimate or overestimate this potential. So you should be realistic. And you have a potential, but try to sort of outdo yourself. And reach your potential, your maximum capacity. And that's it. That's the only thing that you should be competing against. Your own line. You're not going to get taller than, you know, in medicine there is something called the mid-parental height, or the target, mid-parental target height. So you get the mother's height and the father's height. And if you're a boy, you add 5 inches and you divide by 2. If you're a girl, you subtract 5 inches and then you divide by 2. And that's your mid-parental target height. No matter how much you want to be, you know, you want to be tall, but eventually this is your potential. So you're going to grow and grow and grow, and then you reach your target height or mid-parental target height. You may be a little bit taller, a little bit shorter, Allah knows best, but eventually you're not going to be that far off from your mid-parental target height. And that applies to your potential. You have a certain potential. You try to excel within your potential. So the line that you're competing with is not the line of X or Y and Z. Because X or Y and Z, it may be too frustrating for you to compete with them. You know, you're competing for wealth. You know, when are you going to catch up with Bill Gates? You probably will not. I mean, most likely, realistically, you will not. You're competing. What is it that you're competing for? Then you have to understand that I should be competing with my own potential, my own line. Am I getting the best out of me? That should be your competition in this life. So that will treat that cause, the cause of competition and self-admiration and wanting to outdo others in a crowded environment for when you are all pursuing and seeking finite graces, the finite things or gains. The third is wickedness. So we said the first is animosity, the second is self-admiration and competition in a crowded space, and the third is just mere wickedness. Some people are like this. I mean, so they're not particularly against you, they do not particularly hate you, but they want for everyone in this life, for everyone around them to lose what they have. Just pure wickedness. Every time they see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowing His grace on someone or favoring someone or, you know, honoring someone in some way, they want it to vanish because of their, you know, their own wickedness. They may have not ever, you know, seen you. They may have never, interacted with you. They may have never transacted with you in any way, but they want you to lose what you have. And they do not want it necessarily for themselves. Some people are, you know, their himma or their willpower, their azima, their himma, their aspirations are not that high. You know, maybe they want, like, a big company, for instance, to become bankrupt. Do they want it for themselves? Are they competing in this market? You know, are they competing in the whatever market it is, you know, cars or computers or whatever? No, they just want evil for everyone. That's what they wish for everyone, even though they do not desire the good for themselves, or they do not have these aspirations. This type of this cause is very hard to remedy. It's very hard to treat. You know, when we talk about competition and we talk about crowdedness, we remind people that, you know, the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not finite. It's infinite. Even in this dunya, He can give you and give others. So don't worry about it. Just compete with your own potential. Besides, do not worry about this dunya this much. What is this dunya compared to the hereafter? It's nothing. It's zero compared to the hereafter. So this way you mild out this competition inside them, and you mild out this envy inside them. The people who, you know, are envious because of animosity, you remind them, you know, you may try to settle things right between them and those that are their opponents, and you may try to also remind them of the worthlessness of this dunya, and why should you be so angry over this? What have they done to you to make you that angry? What's this dunya all about? You know, did they take your money? So what? How much money did they take from you? Or did they insult you? You know, one day at one point they insulted you at after Salat al-Maghrib 2 years ago. Some people sometimes remember things like this, and this shows how small the person is, because if he's preoccupied with an insult that, you know, someone someday, you know, 2 years ago told him something or said something to him, then it shows you that this is a person who is who has, you know, deficiency of aspirations, you know, himma wa safila, you know, which means low aspirations. Some person who could be preoccupied with trivial things, frivolous things. Most people with noble character and noble objectives, they usually forget these small things because they are looking for that which is bigger and that which is more noble, that which is higher. And the people who get stuck with these things are people usually who have low aspirations. So you remind people of these things, and then you can cure them of this animosity, and then subsequently cure them from this envy. But the person who is truly wicked, you know, and it is not a matter of crowdedness, not a matter of competition, he does not desire it for himself, but he just wants others to lose it. And whether he knows them or not, whether he likes them or hates them, or, you know, he may not like anyone, but whether he has a reason to hate them or not, there was disagreement, dispute, etc. or not, he just wants them to lose it. And that's where a person is very hard to treat, and he may not be able to treat himself. That person needs a revolution, a spiritual revolution, that the person needs to just, you know, flip the page. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for him, then he will recognize how evil he is, how wicked he is, and then will just flip the page and have a spiritual revolution. He'll need to make drastic changes to his life to come anew out of this mold that he's in, because his spirit is locked into this evil, you know, or this into this wickedness and this evil character. And in order for him to break that mold, he would need to really make drastic changes to his life and become a completely new person. Gradual treatment is usually better and prescribed for most people, but some people you need to really drastically take, you know, measures, aggressive measures with them. You know, you cannot, someone who has like end-stage leukemia or some very bad cancer, you need to take their bone marrow out and give them new bone marrow. There is no use in giving them medications. So if you find this in yourself, if you find that you just want people to want evil for people or want harm for people without competition, without, you know, this competition and without this animosity, then you'll have to get yourself a new person, a new heart, a new spirit. And that would require very, very aggressive and drastic measures. So these are the three reasons. I'm just trying to remember them: animosity, self-admiration, and pride, and pure wickedness. That would make one envious, the bad envy, not the good envy. قل قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك